Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. How you doing today, Chris?
Good, good. Good morning, everybody.
It's great to have everybody on here today. I know today's going to be a blessed day. We're going to hear a lot about John's ministry and how the Lord has brought him up from revealing himself to him to where he is today. And it's going to be an awesome story. And it's going to, you know, really touch everybody today. I'd like to get right into the interview, if that's all right. And now, John, can you tell us your testimony?
Yeah. Basically, you know, I grew up from a young age compelled to get in trouble. I just felt like I had this dark cloud hanging over me, and at about the age of 13, my mother saved, and my brother and sister followed in her footsteps. And I had attended church a few times. I was involved in a youth group, but I didn't have any personal relationship or encounter with Jesus Christ. And I didn't really know any more than what I did at the time, that you could have any more than, you know, or I just wasn't connecting for some reason. So I went down the wrong path and ended up involved in just a life of being totally in bondage to sin. And part of that ended up in bondage to illegal drugs and addictions. And that persisted for a few years until I contracted hepatitis C at the age of 18 from intravenous drug use. And so I basically stopped using any of the harder drugs at the time and basically just stuck with marijuana use for about 10 years. And I was a functioning marijuana addict for those years. I, you know, smoked marijuana all day long. And I would lose any job over, you know, having the ability to smoke marijuana anytime I wanted. I basically smoked it like cigarettes. And then at the age of about 27, my father passed away right after a separation with my oldest daughter's mother. And so I had I suffered two losses very suddenly. And any type of loss in life will cause someone's foundation to be revealed. And that foundation was mind-controlling substances. And so marijuana was no longer good enough for me, and I went back to using cocaine, which is what I had used recreationally at an earlier age. And I went off and got arrested several times for possession of drug charges and drug-related charges. And I basically sought the Lord to get sober a few times in a few year period, and every time I sought to receive the power of Jesus to break my addiction, it didn't seem to work for me. And the last time that I got arrested, I was in jail. And I told God that I didn't care how long he wanted me to be in there, as long as he promised me that when I got out, I would be a different person. And the Lord supernaturally released me from jail. The judge basically sentenced me to 18 months probation, and after he sentenced me, they in the courtroom, the judge told me that since I was a convicted felon, they would have to get a DNA sample from me. And the lady in the courtroom said, "Your Honor, we already have a DNA sample from him." And he said, "How come?" And I said, "Well, Your Honor, I had four other felonies a few months prior." And he was very upset and yelled at the state attorney because these charges were hidden, and the Lord had hidden these charges to get me released from jail because God knew that that was my time. And several other miracles took place shortly thereafter. I was put into a management position, general manager of a restaurant, within 3 months of being released from jail, and I never had any sort of managerial experience in my life. I had no work history. It was pretty amazing what the Lord did in my life, and among many other things, but including healing me of the hepatitis C that I had contracted 10 years prior. And So delivered me from depression and anxiety medication that I was on for 15 years of my life, that the doctors told me that I'd be on for the rest of my life. And totally delivered me from the bondage of, you know, darkness that I had been under most of my life. And even at that point, I still didn't truly understand God's will in Christ to set everyone free and to heal everyone and to restore everyone, all of mankind, one person at a time. I had a theology based on doctrine and much because of the Old Testament and a few misinterpretations of the New Testament. And I just felt like, you know, it just wasn't necessarily God's will for divine healing for everybody. And so I went through this battle, basically. Immediately after I was released from jail, I was having such an encounter with God that, you know, was transforming me from the inside. And I immediately felt called to go into the jail and begin ministering to the guys that were where I once was. And I would wake up every morning and, you know, I would hear myself in my mind preaching to, you know, those who were in bondage and those who were, hopeless. And I would literally, it would just bring me to tears as I heard myself ministering the gospel every morning. And so I immediately made contact with the chaplain of the local jail, and he told me that you'd have to be out a year before you can go back in and minister. And that was even a blessing within itself, because a lot of jails don't actually do that, even in that time period, let alone at all. But what was that?
That was unique.
So basically, I went in and started ministering in the jails, and I was just ministering the gospel, in word, and, helping people to understand that Jesus desires to transform their hearts. And so I went through the battle of the divine healing theology for a couple of years, because I had heard some ministers, you know, preach that God wants to heal everybody. And then I heard other, you know, ministers who believe that, you know, if God desires to heal you, then we can pray for you and you'll be healed. And if you don't get healed, then it must not have been God's will. And, so I had that struggle, and I actually challenged friends and, you know, ministers theologically. And one day there was a minister that I had seen that was a guest minister in my town, and he was ministering and sharing some things that the Lord was showing me at that time. It didn't have to do with healing. And I just felt really compelled and drawn to this minister, and he lived a few hours away from me. And the Lord continued to keep him on my heart, and after a while I recognized that God wanted me to study under him. So I contacted him, and I asked him if he had any discipleship programs. And he said he was starting a school of ministry soon, and that he would be in touch with me when that happened. And I said, okay. And, he contacted me shortly thereafter, and he informed me that he was indeed starting a school, but it was actually going to be in a different town, which was actually half the distance from where I lived than where he was at the time. So it was even more confirmation. And so once a week, we drove to this ministry school, and it was just fantastic until he got to the part where he ministered that it was God's will to heal everyone. And so it brought that wrestle back within me. And so one day after ministry school, we were driving home, and I was talking with the others that we were responsible for taking to the school in our van, and I was just sharing with them, you know, my inner debate. And after we got done talking, I just cried out to the Lord right there in the van, you know, out loud, and I just said, Lord, I have to know what your will is, and spoke to me in that moment. But the battle wasn't settled at that. It wasn't done. And I needed further confirmation. So I was sent a teaching by Andrew Womack called God Wants You Well by a friend of mine out of the blue one day. And I listened to that. And it really helped to destroy some sacred cows that I was holding on to based on false scriptural interpretation. One major one being Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, a lot of Christians believe that, you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh was a number of different things, sickness, sin, you know, what have you. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to get into that whole teaching that by Andrew Womack, but it was really confirming, and he points out three separate scriptures by three different writers in the Old Testament that talk about what a thorn in the flesh actually is, and it has nothing to do with any of those things. So right away I started to, God started revealing to me that it was his will to heal everyone. And so once I was persuaded by the Spirit of God through his word, and through proper understanding of his word, I started to really want to share that truth with everybody, what I had discovered, what God had revealed to me. So I started sharing it with others, and I would get others who were like I was, and they would debate with me. And after a while, the Lord said to me, he said, why don't you stop debating and start demonstrating? And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good idea, God. And so I started to pray for people. I have a lawn business, and one day one of my customers answered the door, and, you know, I was getting ready to tell him that I was going away on a missions trip to Guatemala and that we would be rotating his week of service because it was the off season. And before I could even greet him as he answered the door, he said to me, I'm sorry. He says, I'm in a lot of pain. And I said, what happened? And he was holding his shoulder, and he said, my children were here over the holiday, and I messed my shoulder up real bad. I don't know what I did to it, he says, but I didn't want to ruin their trip by going to the doctor, so I'm going to have to go to the doctor right now. And I said, okay, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I was going to Guatemala and that I'd be rotating a week. But would you mind if I prayed for you? And he said, sure. So I just basically commanded his shoulder to be healed. And I started, and his wife came to the door, and I started talking to her, telling her the reason, you know, that I was visiting them. And I, out of the corner of my eye, I look over, and he's swinging his arm all the way around. And I asked him, I said, is it better? And he says, yeah, it's totally healed. So, you know, just one thing after another, as I began to believe in the truth, it began to produce the results that we see in the scriptures. And, but one of the interesting things that began to take place was, you know, I would believe for not just physical healing, but also emotional and mental, because I saw in the scriptures where, you know, after Jesus encountered the man in the tombs, you know, the scripture says that he was sitting there after an encounter with Jesus in his right mind. And the Bible says that God has given us a spirit of sound mind. So I knew soundness of mind was also our portion in Christ. And emotional instability and all those different things, they were just all a part of the curse. You know, we were created in the image of God, and God's not up there in heaven depressed. God's not up there in heaven suffering with anxiety. He's not afraid. He's not any of those things. And so I recognized if we're created in his image and sin came in through Satan and corrupted that image, and Jesus Christ has restored that image, because everything that came in through sin and Satan must go out through Jesus, then we are restored back into that image of God. And so when I would pray for people with anxiety or, you know, suicidal thoughts or worthlessness or whatever, and sometimes sicknesses, you know, demons started manifesting. And obviously I was confronted with, you know, having to deal with them now that they were surfaced, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that they had to go in the name of Jesus, so I just, you know, did that, and the person would get free, and next thing you know, their disorders that they were struggling with were gone, as well as other things that I didn't even know they were dealing with. And, you know, there was just such a common, what's that?
I'd like to stop you right there, man.
Sure.
You said at first, you said that, you know, you was in prison, and the Lord was helping, that the Lord was helping you with that and helping you get developed where you need to be. Now, while you was in prison, did you get saved in prison?
Well, it was actually jail. I didn't go to prison. Yeah. That was actually the miracle. I should have gone to prison. Because with the points that I had as far as, you know, the charges, but I didn't have to go by the grace of God. But I, you know, at what point I was saved, you know, I believe it was through the daily encounter of getting to know Jesus. That was my salvation. I didn't have an experience where I knew immediately I was saved. It was just a developing of a relationship with God. You know, and I, to be honest with you, that's what I preach is, you know, I believe a man has to know what he's getting himself into. And, if you're going to commit yourself to someone as Lord of your life, you need to get to know them, you know, because you're surrendering all. And, you know, and I feel that we have to get to know Jesus. We have to truly encounter him and see who he really is. And then at that point, the yielding just comes naturally as his spirit begins to love on you and free you and, you know, heal you without any strings attached, because freely he gives. And when you come into that, that's where I believe salvation takes place.
So you believe that gradually, you know, as you learn Jesus, you kindly accept him as you learn him and know him, instead of just popping up and say, you know, I receive you, Jesus, and you have no idea, but you gradually know him. And that's awesome, man, because I really believe myself that you should, you know, get to know the Lord and really get to know him good. But, you know, that I do believe in certain circumstances that some people, like on a deathbed, they should receive Christ. I mean, they've been through all their life, and there is circumstances like that. But, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, however,
I believe,
you know,
so
the Lord
too.
Wants it,
yeah.
The Lord wants it to work for you. You know, but for you, for that circumstance, it worked great for you and developed you where you needed to be at that time. But so, first of all, you did have some, I'll say, some religious background to your life where you was taught all this theology and stuff like we all have when we're children.
Right.
And seemed like you had to relearn from some of that, what you were speaking there.
Absolutely. You know, there was, you know, there's a scripture that says the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance those things which I've spoken. And as I began to develop that relationship with Jesus, you know, he kept bringing back all of those seeds that had been planted in my life by others along the years. And I'm definitely in agreement with you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there are people who have instantaneous, you know, encounters with Jesus that were unlike mine. And so I'm in agreement with you on that.
It's kind of like awesome. I mean, how, you know, Jesus wants a relationship with each and every body. A lot of times, you know, theology, religions, churches, they don't really teach that. They say, you know, hey, get to know Jesus through the Word, and you read and you
right.
go. But a lot of times a relationship is more than that. It's talking to him. Waiting
you know,
for him to respond, you know. Go ahead.
And I'll just tell you, you know, I am one of the biggest things, you know, most of the church, in fact, all of the church, as far as I know, believes in the Word of God as, you know, our power and our source. But the Spirit of God is, you know, we need to have a relationship with the Spirit of God. Jesus said that it's better that I go so that he will come. You know, and we don't think about the weight of those words. Jesus himself said that it's better that I go, that I leave, so that he will come. And he was referring to the Holy Spirit. And in Ezekiel 36:27, God says, I will put my Spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and obey my commandments. And, you know, many times religion is known, Christianity, by some as this self-help program where we read the Word and we try to apply it to our lives. But if that was, you know, how it was supposed to work, anything would work. We wouldn't need, you know, the Spirit of God. But God says in his Word that it's his Spirit that causes us to walk in obedience. It's not our just trying to apply it to our lives. It's by the work of his Spirit that transforms us.
That's awesome. Perfectly said. Yeah, we've got to have the Spirit of God to lead us. We've got to have the Holy Spirit to live with inside of us where we can be led
yeah.
the right way. And like you said, if it wasn't, the Bible would just be a self-help book where you
yeah.
can pick up any book in the library and just try to go with it. But you know, with the Bible, you get the Holy Spirit with it. And that's what
yeah.
that's what guides you and renews you. You got to be renewed from the inside out. And a lot of times words can't. It takes God himself to start working inside you. And it's kind of awesome there. Now,
absolutely.
You said your healing ministry started just by you seeking to find the truth about that.
Yeah,
and,
you know.
And when you were doing your lawn care and stuff, you said like your first healing came from a guy that came to the door or something that had a broken shoulder or something. Now, when you saw that guy's shoulder heal, did that shock you? Was that like more of something that kind of pushed you forward in your ministry?
Yes and no. Yes, it, you know, it helped build up my confidence, but, you know, we're interesting creatures sometimes, you know, and I've seen people who've seen, you know, all the signs and wonders, and they still have a hard time believing, and that's why we need an encounter with Jesus. We need that revelation directly from God. And he needs to speak to our hearts, so I still needed his truth to have dominion over my life. I needed to hold on to his word even when I didn't see it manifesting. And I needed his encouragement, and I needed his, you know, that relationship. So definitely, I mean, it helped, but that alone, just seeing it would not have propelled me forward. It was the truth of his word, you know, that he commanded us to heal the sick. He didn't command us to pray for the sick. He commanded us to heal them and to cast out demons, you know. And so, you know, that was the thing is, you know, and so my, if I could add a little more to my testimony, it would be wonderful.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. It has to do with, you know, what led me into, well, I mean, I share with you what led me into the deliverance ministry is, as I started to see, you know, demonic attached to so many different things when I would pray for healing in people's lives. And every single person that I was praying for were Christians. You know, these were all Christians. I prayed for worship leaders who they were, you know, referred by a friend, and, you know, they're telling me that, you know, you prayed for my friend, and, you know, they had an amazing experience, and I just wanted to see if, you know, if you could pray for me. And so I'm like, yeah, no problem. What's going on? And so they tell me, you know, well, everything in my life is great. You know, God has blessed me. You know, everything's just well balanced. But every time I get up on stage to lead worship, I get gripped with fear. And once I enter into worship, it goes away. And I'm like, okay, you know, we'll see what the Lord wants to do. And so I begin praying for them. And next thing you know, this person manifested the demon and, you know, got rid of it. And that condition was gone, you know. And, you know, many times we in America, we have a false perception of what demonic or demon or deliverance really looks like because we've grown up on Hollywood. You know, and
yeah.
we feel like in order to have a demon, you know, you've got to be living in, you know, the tombs like the man was who had the legion in the Bible, cutting himself naked, running around like a lunatic. But we also see in the woman that Jesus called a daughter of Abraham, you know, she was simply hunched over. You know, she just had a curve in her back. And Jesus diagnosed her and said that it was a demon. It was a spirit of infirmity. And so when he delivered her from that spirit, she straightened right up. You know, and in the Western world, a lot of us, we treat everything with medicine. And I believe today that woman could have put, she could have had rods put in her back. She could have, you know, been on pain medication and all these different things to treat this demon, or the condition that the demon was causing. But Jesus showed us the root of it and that it was a spiritual thing, you know. But that's such a subtle torment. Now, not to that woman, it wasn't, obviously, because she had to live with it on a daily basis. But to someone like, you know, who was looking from the outside in, they would have never suspected that that was a demon. And this is where we need to expand our understanding and see things in the biblical context, you know. And so just like that worship leader, you know, probably before her friend mentioned my ministry, she probably had no idea that it was even possible that she had a demon. She probably knew the condition was demonic and that she was under attack, but the fact of her having a demon was probably far from her, you know, consideration. And so, you know, I've just seen amazing things. And as far as my testimony, you know, the Lord, I put down the medication that I was on for anxiety and depression instantly. That was done by holding on to the truth. The Lord revealed to me, you know, in that a day when I read the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, that my condition was not of me. And so every time anxiety and depression tried to come upon me, you know, I would just rebuke it. And I would say that you're not who I am. And that's how I overcame that. And, you know, I've never faced that any longer in my life, no depression or anxiety. But as a Christian who had an encounter with the Lord, who, you know, was called into ministry and, you know, living this transformed life in all of these areas, having been healed of hepatitis C, having been, you know, delivered from the bondage of sexual addiction and, you know, drug addiction and just, you know, total life depravity. I had this one issue in my life that affected my daily living, and I had this, it was an anger problem. And, you know, I would react in a manner in which I did not like about myself. And I would go to the altar regularly and ask God to take it from me, crying in repentance, wanting, not knowing. I was doing everything. I was reading the Word of God every day, praying, spending time with the Lord every single day, you know, resisting, rebuking, all of these different things, and I could not get away from it. And I was ministering in a church, and I was preaching on the power of God, and I gave an altar call for people to come forward. And the woman, the first woman that came forward, I asked her what her issue was. She said brain and thyroid cancer. And so I commanded the brain and thyroid cancer to leave her body. And she started to manifest a demon. And, of course, you know, I was confronted with getting rid of it at that point. So, you know, I delivered her from this demon by the Spirit of God within me. And the next day, I got a phone call from her, and she was given my number by a friend of hers who brought her to that meeting, who knew me. She said, John, she said, I'm the, she says, I know you don't know me, but I'm the head of a deliverance ministry. She says, my whole team has been praying for me for months. She says, I really feel like God has a purpose in the way he used you. And she says, I'd love to share with you anything that I've learned in this ministry over the years. And immediately I was like really resistant, because I'm like, wait a minute, I just cast a demon out of you yesterday. I'm not so sure I want to necessarily hear what you have to say, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, she starts telling me miracle testimony after miracle testimony after miracle testimony. And I recognized, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And I saw, you know, she was the founder of all these different ministries that were just serving God and people. And so I said to her, I said, you know, I said, when would you like to pray for me and my wife? And she said, sure, we'd love to pray for you guys. So we set up a day. And then we came over for prayer. And in that moment, and I had been learning at that time about generational curses. And in that moment of prayer, the Lord reminded me that my mom had an anger problem. And I said to the minister, and it was her friend, it was a member of her team that was praying for me. And I said to her, I said, you know, my mom had an anger problem, and this is the one thing that I can't seem to overcome in my Christian walk. I've done everything that I know to do. And she says, okay, let's pray. And I says, all right. And as soon as she started to pray and command this thing to leave me, I started to manifest a demon and got delivered. And never again did I have any of those angry outbursts. And I, you know, Jesus says, the word says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And I know there's Christians, I pray for them all the time, it's my full-time ministry, who are where I once was in my walk, and they've done all they know to do. They read the word, they pray, they go to church, they have a heart of repentance, they do not want this thing in their life, and yet they can't seem to shake it. When my ministry gets promoted, people come out of the woodwork they just come out from every area, every church. And these pastors have no idea that that they're struggling with these things because they don't know how to talk about it because nobody talks about this stuff. And
yeah,
they get delivered.
John,
yep.
Excuse me. I'd like to stop
sure.
one area. I know I remember you talking to me earlier, and you was talking about this how the deliverance was put on you. You said you was watching a Minister Carlos or something, and you asked the Lord to just give the gift that he had and put it on you.
Yeah.
And you said that you was praying, and all of a sudden you felt like a download.
Yeah.
Spirit coming over you, and you fell into a complete laughter. Can you get into that?
Well, I am a firm believer, you know, I am a firm believer in Jesus giving. You know, I really believe with all my heart that Jesus, you know, he says you have not because you ask not. And in the church today, we feel like everybody has everything, every gift and every anointing and every office and all these different things. But I really believe that everybody has specific calls, and I believe God is waiting for people to ask him for what they're wanting to serve others by his love. And I was reading a book one day because I had prayed for a Christian, and they were having these tormenting thoughts, and this was way before I even got into ministry. And I prayed for them and commanded these thoughts to leave, and they threw up, and, you know, I just realized that I had just cast the demon out. And I asked my pastor at the time, I was a new Christian, I said, can a Christian have a demon? Because this person was, I mean, their walk was amazing, absolutely flawless, but yet they have these tormenting thoughts. And so he gave me some reading materials. He says, I'm actually studying on that right now. And he says, I'm not convinced either way. I don't know. He says, just, you know, here's some study material. And he recommended a book by Carlos Anacondia, and it was called Listen to Me, Satan. Carlos Anacondia is a minister in Argentina, and he preaches open-air crusades to thousands of people. And after he gets done preaching the gospel, he says, Satan, you listen to me. And he begins to command them or him to leave all the people. And then people start falling down, manifesting demons, and then they set them free. And, you know, there's healings, deliverance, and preaching in his ministry. And I thought to myself as I'm reading his book, I'm like, this looks more like the gospel that we see and hear in the Word of God than anything that I'm seeing in the church today. And I start, this hunger just came over me. And I said, Lord, I was in my kitchen one day. I wasn't even reading the book at the time. It was weeks after. And I was in my kitchen, and I said, Lord, I want the specific anointing of Carlos Anacondia. And immediately this joy came over me out of nowhere. And I just felt like God was smiling, saying, I've been waiting to give this to you. You know, the Bible says Jesus gave his disciples authority over sickness and every disease and unclean spirits. And I really believe that we need to call upon God and ask him for those gifts. Paul says to earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I have it's definitely peculiar because I get around people who don't even know me, and they'll start getting nauseous, and they'll tell me they're nauseous. And I'll say, well, let me pray for you. And I just start commanding whatever it is to come out. They throw up, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you know, what was that? And, you know, it's interesting because it happens quite frequently. And I know that it's different because, I mean, there's other ministers who have been ministering with the power of God for years. And it's the anointing, it looks a little different. I can't explain it, but I know it's all the Holy Ghost that desires to set people free. You know?
Amen. I've heard Curry Blake talk about this a lot, and he's talked about he was sitting beside of some people, and the kids would start being very active and be really fidgety, you know, around him and moving and acting strange, and then they'd move away from him, and he could tell that they had a demonic entity in them because of the way they was acting. And what just because of those kids, because everywhere he goes, that happens. Somebody is just reacting in a different way. But, yes, that's very common in that. But, that's very awesome there, how that anointing was put on you. And I think some people can have a, like some churches say, a specific office in their ministry that they're very good at. And I really think we all have bits and pieces of all the fivefold ministry. We all have a little bit of that in us.
Yes.
But there's one specific office that we specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that, you know, that would be the main office, you know, that we normally move in, like a prophet or, I say, a minister or a preacher or a teacher. You know, we're all very good at one of them. And, you know, and deliverance and ministry is like one of your big ones there. And I'm pretty sure you got prophet in there too. But it's pretty awesome to see people that knows what God has them to do and see them move in that. Because I really, you know, a lot of people don't really know what type of ministry they're really in. A lot of them is trying to beating around the bush, trying to figure out what they're good at. And, you know, whatever the church tells them to do is what they do. And they don't really search for themselves what type of gift God has put in them that they're really good at. And that's one of the big things. But now, when you started your deliverance ministry, you started going into it full-time. And I'll just say on the side, however you want to put that. But when you started to do this, what did you start learning about the demonic kingdom and all that stuff and what was going on with people? What could you see within your ministry?
Well, what the biggest thing that I saw was that practically every person that I prayed for got delivered of something. I mean, and like I said, they were all Christians. And, you know, they didn't know they could be different or free from this. I had one woman that I prayed for, you know, she went on a missions trip to Africa, and she came back, and she was tormented. And it was just this peculiar happening that was occurring in her life. And so I prayed for her, and she got delivered, and you know, a few weeks later, she contacted me and she says, John, she says, you know, my relationship with my husband is different. She says, my son doesn't act out anymore. And she says, and I don't yell at my children anymore. She said, I thought, you know, that some parents just yelled at their kids and some parents didn't, and that it was just a way of parenting. She says, but after my deliverance, I don't yell at my kids anymore. And I never knew that that could be different in my life. And, you know, there's just so many realms and facets of subtle, they're so subtle. People don't realize that, you know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it waddles like a duck, it's probably a duck, you know?
Yeah.
And if God's not up in heaven struggling with this disorder, and we're created in his image, and we've been restored to that image through Christ, then everything outside of that needs to go. Now, that can happen through discipleship. It can happen through renewing the mind. But many times it takes deliverance. And, you know, I don't want to get rid of the things that we've known about all these years. You know, reading the word, spending time with God, those are vital. They're necessary components of our Christian walk, you know, and resisting and, you know, having a heart of repentance. All those things are vital. But deliverance is so much more needed than what we understand, I believe, in the vast majority of the church today. And if we could understand this ministry, we would be walking taller. We would be pure in our speech, in our actions, in our health, in our emotions, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if every good and perfect gift comes from above, then the only things that Satan can steal, kill, and destroy are that which God desires to give us. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above. So the only good things we have in life come from God. And so that's, you know, so if he's a thief, the only thing he can take are is the good things that God desires to give us. And so, you know, that's my heart, is to get the truth out there, to get the church to recognize this. So many people, Christians, are hung up on whether a Christian can have a demon or not. You know, they use the scriptures, well, light can't dwell with darkness. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? It means they don't agree. In fact, the scripture that is referring to is that, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? It's talking about Christians being yoked with unbelievers. And it's not referring about light and darkness. There's demons and angels everywhere around us right now. You know, they're occupying the same space and same time, and they're at war with one another. And whatever we yield to is what, you know, we're going to be taking upon ourselves. And that's why it's so important to yield to the Spirit of the Lord in our lives and to his word. So, you know, I'll just give you a brief testimony. There was one time where I was ministering in this church, and I did a teaching on deliverance there, and the head pastor wanted me to come back and train the leadership on how to do deliverance. And the associate pastor didn't like me too much, and he was trying to warn the pastor about me. And when I went back to the church to train on deliverance, you know, I told the leadership that in order to teach on this, I would need to demonstrate it. So whoever wanted to subject themselves to the opportunity to get free of anything in their life that is demonic to come forward. And so about half of them came up, seven of them sitting in the front row. And so I just asked the Lord to cause the one that he wanted to deliver to start manifesting. And this woman in the front row started to cry. And I asked her why she was crying, and she says, I don't know. And I said, okay. And so I told, you know, the leadership, I said, it's possible this is demonic. I said, but let's find out. And so I began to command, you know, anything demonic attached to her to leave. And the associate pastor was very upset. He got up and walked out, because all he knows is that I'm, you know, this woman started crying, which women do. And when I was praying, you know, when I was praying for the Holy Spirit, you know, to do his work. And then now I'm commanding a demon to leave her. So he just, in his, you know, mindset, thought that I was out of order or whatever. So, but yeah, as soon as he walked back in, this woman was now up in my face with a man's voice talking through her, saying, you're not going to cast me out of her. And it turned out to be his wife. And so at that point, he was like, okay, carry on. And, you know, because he realized that this was more than what he thought it was. And so when I began to pray for her, I asked, if anybody feels like they have authority over this demon, then you come up here and lay hands on her. And of course, he came up with her and put his hand on her back, and he was standing behind her. And she began to get nauseous, so we got her a trash can in case she needed to get sick. And so I kept commanding, and thing you know, he dives over top of her into the trash can and starts going through deliverance himself. And so we basically found out what didn't like me, and it was that demon, you know. And they would have never known had this not been presented to them, you know. And him and his wife have both noticed positive changes in their life that, you know, from things that they had for years, you know, and now we're friends, and I'm actually going to see him today. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome. And what we're going to do real quick, we're going to go into a quick song and go into a small break, and then we'll come right back.
Sounds good.
Myself, I've been around some of my friends that I know that does this type of thing, And when they're in this ministry and you get around them, we laugh while I go. I said, you feel like doing a hammer in front of them because them things start coming out. And it's just horrible to do that. And I know one of my other friends, you know, every time I talk to him, I know the structure, up and out, up and out. And
yep.
All of a sudden, if you're doing it up, you automatically know what you're going to do. Here comes another one, you know. So, that's the way that goes. And, I mean, don't never be embarrassed of that stuff because you need cleansing, man. I mean,
that's right.
Even in your own ministry, you need to be a clean vessel. I mean, you don't know what
yeah.
you could have picked up from somebody. You don't know what type of doors could be opening you that you have no idea that it needs that door needs to be closed, and you need to be cleansed out where you can be a clean vessel for somebody else you're going to pray for. And, you know, it just happens like that. Now, I've got Chris. Chris is going to ask him a few questions. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, so John, what can you tell us about this that to educate us to be aware or to walk in that authority? Because, like, with my experience, sometimes the people that the demons are coming out of,
yeah,
like, they're kind of, when it manifests, my experience has been some of these people don't even realize that it's happening. I mean,
sure.
It's like they have no consciousness of that thing even manifesting. And can you just talk to us a little bit about, like, just the authority and how to go about doing some of that stuff?
Well, you know, the first thing I'd like to say is that, you know, demonic manifestations don't occur the same from person to person. Some people will have, like you were describing, a full-fledged manifestation where they're not present, and they may or may not be able to know what's going on. But then others, they don't have any of that. They just, you know, cough or whatever. It can be literally very, you know, without instance, many deliverances. But as far as walking, you know, in the authority, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. My first and foremost suggestion would be to anyone who's not convinced of any of the truths that I have shared tonight, and you can weigh them before the Lord, but if you're not convinced, ask him to reveal you truth, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that word know in the Bible actually was almost, it was like an intimacy to where they actually use that same word to as in two people sleeping together. You know the truth. You become one with it. And so when you're convinced of something, you know it. And that's the kind of knowing that God was speaking of in that word, when you know something. And the second thing is to walk it out and resist discouragement at when it doesn't manifest the way it's supposed to. Cabrera, a lot of people know the name, you know, he ministered healing out on the streets for 2 years nonstop until he began to see miracles. He would pray for people regularly for them to be healed for 2 years until he began to see miracles. Heidi Baker talks about how she prayed for people for a year straight before she saw miracles. And it's, you know, we have to put one foot in front of the other, come into agreement with the Word of God, and then he will begin to release things to you. I really believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know. And there's a scripture, the parable of the talents, that talks about, you know, when he comes and he says, what have you done with what I've invested in you? And, you know, he takes from the one that did nothing with it, and then he gives it to the one who did something with it. And I believe if you're putting one foot in front of the other for Jesus, and for his gospel, and for his namesake, and for his desire to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to transform lives, hearts, souls, bodies, he will begin to throw things into you that you never expected, and you'll begin to see results that you never thought you'd see. And that's what it's all about. It's all about putting one foot in front of the other. he gave me a revelation one time where he said, you know, if somebody, if you were watching the television and they began to read off the lottery numbers and it matched every single number on the ticket that you had just purchased, you know, what would it look like when you were convinced of that truth? You would be propelled to go down to your local lottery department with all the confidence in the and all the zeal that you could muster, because you were convinced of those winnings, and Jesus Christ had purchased our winnings on the cross. It's already been paid for. Our inheritance has been released. It's a matter of us going down and cashing in on it.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's. I think that's awesome. You mentioned like John 17, where it talks about the oneness. And can you just talk a little bit about the confidence or your confidence in the Lord? Because I know that's probably a key issue, that you can't have fear in you and stuff like that when you got to have the confidence of the Lord, knowing that he's like bigger than the whole situation, no matter what happens. Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, every great man and woman of faith goes through the exact things that everybody else goes through. The fact that fear won't try to come upon you or that you won't feel it is a lie. But what you do with it is what matters. Jesus even asked the Father in the garden before he went to the cross, "Father, if you could just take this from me and not let this happen, that would be great." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." I believe Jesus was, he was sweating blood at that moment in prayer. I believe fear tried to come upon him. He felt the presence of it, but it's a matter of what he did with it. And he says, "Nevertheless, I will put one foot in front of the other for you." And, you know, we will experience fear of rejection. We'll experience fear of failure. We'll experience fear of demons when they begin to manifest, and we've never seen anything like it in our lives. Those things will try to come upon you, but it's a matter of what you do with it. We have to trust that the Lord goes before us and that he's already there, and that anything that you come up against, he's already there. And, you know, he's desiring, you know, to transform creation one person at a time through you and me. And he's the same cry of his heart that, you know, I believe it was Isaiah, I think, I'm not sure, but he says, "Whom will go for me and whom shall I send?" You know, and we have to have the cry that says, "Pick me, Lord, I will do it."
Yeah, that's Man. Awesome. That's awesome. Can you talk about some of the things that you might know that opens a door to the enemy?
Giving place to fear. You know, I think the longer that you open a door to any influence of the enemy determines the strength that it has in your life. So that's what I believe, that, you know, just giving into fear, you know, once or twice is not going to cause you to have a full-fledged levitating manifestation when you go through your deliverance. I've never seen levitating, so that's I was just using that as an exaggeration. I don't want to freak anybody out with that, but I really feel like, you know, anything, the enemy will try to cause us to worry, to fear, to not trust God. He's got the same MO from today that he had in the beginning, when he caused Adam and Eve to question what God said. And, you know, so we have to hold on to the word of God as truth. in spite of all circumstances, in spite of medical science, in spite of, you know, all of these things that try to argue. Now, you know, I'm not against doctors. I believe that doctors can be a great blessing. But that woman with the spirit of infirmity, you know, could have dealt with a lot of agony at the hands of physicians trying to help her. Even the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she suffered many things at the hands of many physicians. And we try to do our best for one another in the natural, but we can do God's best in His power, in the supernatural.
Yeah, yeah, that is so good. That's really good. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh. Amen. Would you like to share some more, maybe, testimonies? Like, that was really,
yeah,
really good.
You know, there was a woman that I prayed for. Her son had stage 4 cancer for the fourth time, and he was only 10 years old. And, you know, and I knew because of, you know, the truth, the Word of God. It tells us where the source of these things are, and it's through open doors, through sin and Satan. And I knew that this 10-year-old kid didn't live such a radical life on Skid Row where he had welcomed this curse. And so I prayed for him, but I also prayed for the parents. I said, I want to pray for you guys. I said, because whatever's affecting his life, I believe, came down the generational lineage. And I prayed for them, and they both got delivered. But the mom, it was quite interesting because I got a phone call a week later from her husband, and he said, John, he says, I know that you don't know us, and you know, we basically just met the night of our prayer session. He says, but my wife is an alcoholic. Ever since the night that you prayed for her, she has not had a drink since. And they came down and flew down here to Florida a year later. And, you know, same story. She was delivered of alcoholism that night. And I had no idea that she was dealing with that. But the demon in her did. And that's what it was causing in her life. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit did. And he knew that, you know, his will was for her to be free. And, you know, that's a specific case where we know about repentance. We know about these things, you know, that we've always known about in the church. But that woman didn't get, you know, I believe she must have had a heart of repentance. She probably drank every day and said to herself, I really wish I could stop this. You know, maybe after a while, when she realized she couldn't stop it, she just learned how to deal with it and how to cope with it. That's what we do when we can't seem to overcome things. We try to build our lives around them. And so, you know, but it was a deliverance that set her free. You know, and I'm just telling you, it's such a necessary tool in the body of Christ to promote the kingdom of heaven, to release God's will on the earth. And I'm just so excited to be used by God to get this truth out there and to serve it to His people and those He desires to fulfill the abundant life that Jesus Christ purchased for them.
Man, that is so good. That is good.
That's awesome, because I really feel that, you know, the biggest thing to a healing ministry is deliverance, because basically a lot of healing is deliverance. I mean, there's only one reason why they're sick, you know?
That's right.
And,
that's right. And can I touch on that real quick?
Go ahead, man.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. And, you know, that's what really led me to understand this, is the Word of God is the truth. And the Bible says that sickness didn't even exist before Satan influenced mankind. And the only biblical explanation for sickness is the curse. And the Bible says that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. So, you know, biblically, and it's interesting because so many Christians who have been Christians for years, they hold on to the Word of God as their argument for so many different things. But yet, the very word that they hold on to argues their doctrine and their theology. And some Christians don't believe that it's God's will to heal everyone. But the Bible says he's redeemed us from the curse, which is the only explanation for sickness. It's the only biblical answer for what sickness came from, you know. And so I'm just glad he brought that up, because people need to know this. It is the gospel. When it says he's redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death, he means it. And when we see all of that, which that covers and which that includes, it's mind-blowing. And we see a much more powerful, a much more loving God than we ever knew existed in our Christian walk.
Amen. I know once you get into a good relationship with the Lord, you start understanding the love of God more than the finger point and the hating. You see the love of God, and then that kind of blows doctrine out of the water.
Sure.
That's one of the main things is that, you know, a lot of people, I know even I've went through some deliverance through some of the friends I knew, and you feel clean. You feel open.
Yeah.
You feel like, what was going on in my life during this time? I mean, what? You don't even know this stuff is in you until one of these guys starts really getting into that. And then a lot of times when you're being ministered to in that way, you learn things, too, that you don't even know that people have and what you even have yourself. And you can learn to do the same thing yourself. You know, this here ain't made for a certain person or a certain minister. You know, anybody can do this. You've got to know what the walk in, you know, what type of authority you have and where you can go with it. Anybody can do this. But that's one of the main things I saw that the Lord and the disciples did quite often was deliverances. And go ahead.
Do you have 30 seconds?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Worship leader that I had told you about that I prayed for, you know, she's the worship leader of one of the, she's in the top 20 fastest growing churches in America. And, you know, obviously I'm not at liberty to say which one, but she, after she got delivered, she had a friend she was telling her testimony to, and her friend had cancer. And she says, you have to pray for me like that. You have to pray for me like that. And her husband were sitting there and were like, well, we don't know how. And her husband was like, well, we saw John do it. Let's just do it. And she's just like, okay. So they began to command the spirit of cancer to come out of this woman. And her tumor completely disappeared. And you know, and this is how it's supposed to work. You know, this is how it's supposed to happen. This is the multiplication factor of making disciples. And, you know, I heard one time that phlebotomists have a saying, and that is, teach one, see one, do one, or something like that. And basically they see somebody do it, and then they do it themselves. And it's just that quick. And, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. You can watch somebody do it one time, and then you begin to do it. You don't even have to watch somebody do it. You've got the same spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, who's the power, the source, the guide, you know, and he'll lead you to do it. All we have to know is the truth that says it's not God's will for you to have that condition. And then when we come against that, and spend time in prayer. We don't need, you know, we need to... If we believe, it'll show up in our persistence, in our commitment to see that thing through, you know? I mean, absolutely. So,
John, before we get off here, before I have you to give out your website stuff, would you like to do a deliverance prayer for everybody, just whoever's listening? It might help them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes, just to let you know, you can feel things in your body begin to happen. All I'm going to do is command Satan to leave anywhere he's attached to your life. So that's a safe prayer. I don't know anybody who wouldn't want that prayer. And so you might feel tingling in your body. You might feel tightness. Maybe your heart will start racing. People experience these things. That's okay. Just let it happen, because the freedom is the result, and that's what we're after. It's not about the manifestation. It's about the years and years of freedom from the condition. That's what it's about. So right now, Father, I thank you for your presence and for your spirit and for the finished work of Jesus Christ for every person listening. And I just thank you, Lord. And I command right now, Satan, everywhere you're attached to every person listening right now, you're commanded to hear my words, to submit and to obey to everything I tell you right now. You go from their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you're causing in their life, every blocking spirit, every poverty spirit, every sickness, every infirmity, every spirit of worry, suicidal thoughts, doubt, fear, every emotional instability, sensory disorder, cancer, I command all these things right now to go from their lives. I command in Jesus' name you release them everywhere you're attached to them right now in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, you've got to go. Every addiction right now, every false identity spirit that would try to convince somebody that they are less than who they are in Christ, I command you to release them now, right now, in the name of Jesus. Satan, you go from their lives in every form, in every facet, in every part right now. You release their heart, their back, their stomach, their mind, everywhere you're wrapped around their body, you're commanded to go in the name of Jesus Christ, up and out everywhere right now. You must go in the name of Jesus. I break your power off their life now, and I command that their finished deliverance continue to manifest until they're totally free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. That's awesome.
Thanks for having me.
It's awesome.
It's a pleasure to serve our...
How can somebody get a hold of you? You got a website or something?
Yeah. First of all, it's J-O-N. I do not have an H in my name. There is another page just like mine that has an H. But it's J-O-N, JohnGeorgeMinistries.com. JohnGeorgeMinistries.com.
Amen. And I also got this website or website thing on the Blog Talk introduction to John George, his interview here that we're having today. It's on that. So when you look and get ready to listen to the show, you can look at the bottom and just click right there. It'll take you right to his website. And you can see what he's all about, you know, how you can get in touch with him. And now, John, what's the best way to get in touch with you if somebody's want a deliverance? Or
There's a contact link on that website.
That's awesome.
I've also got a Facebook account, facebook.com/JohnGeorgeMinistries.
That's
and awesome. There's also a YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/JohnGeorgeMinistries.
And I noticed that you have some deliverance prayers that you have on YouTube that people can listen to get deliverance too.
Yeah, I've got one 13-minute video. It's a general deliverance prayer video. I had one woman who watched that 3 times. She had a softball-sized tumor explode in her bladder. Completely delivered from a spirit of cancer and totally healed instantly because she watched that video, persistent that she was going to get free.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, if anybody is questioning this, just go and listen to one of his videos and see what it'll do for you, you know, or get a hold of him and have him to pray for you and get delivered, whatever you know, situation you have, or if you're actually new to this, you know, just try this out. You know, try these videos out and see what happens, because I know this here, it can really help you. It can really help you in certain avenues of your life that you don't even know that you got a demon actually in you that's kind of messing with your head or messing with your body or something that you don't even know that's going on. And then when this thing leaves and you're like, wow, I feel so free, and it's an awesome feeling to feel that. But, you know, just check it out and see what it will do for you. And that's
Amen.
One thing that I have this show for is to open different avenues for people that is a Christian that wants to know how the power of God works and how it can help you and help you grow in your faith. And deliverance is a great tool. So, John, thanks for coming on the show today. It's been awesome. And it's been real good to listen to your story, and I'm sure this is going to touch a lot of people.
Amen. Yeah, and if people could pay attention to my story and where I came from, they need to know they're qualified, because it's not about who I am, it's about who Jesus is.
Amen.
Jesus
can, that's good.
Jesus can touch and help anybody. It doesn't matter where you're at or where you
that's
come
right.
from. He can help and touch you anywhere. He can be in prison or under the prison. He can touch you there. It doesn't
that's
matter.
Right.
So, you know, Jesus loves us all, and he really wants to see us, you know, grow in the faith. He wants to see us be the new man that he died for us to be the new man. And that's one of the biggest things there is just growing in your faith and seeing miracles work in your life, and seeing God work and building that communication up with the Lord. That's one of the big things, too, is always build a great communication up with the Lord and have that relationship. And one of the biggest things is if you have a good relationship with the Lord, you'll see things in your life change and things, you know, that you wish wasn't there start moving out. Because anytime you stay close with the Lord and you're staying in prayer and just having a casual conversation with Him, that's when you start building that closeness and you start seeing, you know, your faith grow. You start seeing things change. You start seeing your family change. And that's one of the big things there, too. But there again, John,
Amen.
Thanks for coming on the show. And
thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we'll
thank
be back
so much.
Wednesday night. We'll be back Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And remember to go to the Healing Light Show page on Facebook. Like the page. And on these shows, just go ahead and follow the shows. And anytime we have a newer show, it will let you know. It will email it to you. God bless everyone of y'all. Y'all have a great weekend.